Welcome, everyone, to Daily Prayer at the Abbey. I'm Father David, and this is morning prayer for Tuesday, December 1st, the year of our Lord 2020, the season of Advent. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, we will go into the house of the Lord. We're so glad that you're joining us today at the Abbey, where I'll be leading us in prayer using the New Book of Common Prayer of the Anglican Church in North America. You can learn how to purchase your copy at the end of the podcast. Many thanks to all of our faithful listeners who've been so generous in your giving. Your continued support's helping this ministry reach people all over the world with daily prayer and the gospel of Christ. We'll be praying responsibly today. I'll be reading the parts for the officiant. You'll be responding with the parts for the people. So join me now on page 12 as we humbly confess our sins to Almighty God. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and the desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises, declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant each of you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit. Amen. The Invitatory on page 13. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise, the people say. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let us praise the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. Our morning canticle, the Jubilate, on page 15. Together, O be joyful in the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. Be assured that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. O go your way into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and speak good of his name. For the Lord is gracious, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures from generation to generation. Our psalm for this morning, continuing in Psalm 78, beginning on page 370 of the Book of Common, 371 of our Book of Common Prayer. The psalmist sings, many times they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. They turned back and tested God and provoked the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his power, nor the day when he delivered them from the hand of the enemy, how he had wrought his miracles in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. He turned their waters into blood so that they might not drink of the waters. He sent flies among them, which devoured them up, and frogs to destroy them. He gave their fruit to the grasshopper, and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hailstones, and their sycamore trees with the frost. He smote their cattle also with hailstones, and their flocks with hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the furiousness of his wrath, anger, displeasure, and trouble, sending these destroying angels among them. He made a way for his indignation, and did not spare their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence, and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the firstfruits of their strength in the dwellings of Ham. But as for his own people, he led them forth like sheep, and carried them in the wilderness like a flock. He brought them out safely, and they were not afraid. He overwhelmed their enemies with the sea, and brought them within the borders of his holy land, to his mountain, which he obtained with his right hand. He cast out the nations before them, and caused their land to be divided among them, for an inheritance, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. But they tested and displeased the Most High God, and did not keep his testimonies, but turned their backs and fell away like their forefathers, twisting aside like a broken bow. For they grieved him with their hill altars, and provoked him to displeasure with their images. When God heard this, he was full of wrath, and utterly rejected Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle in Shiloh, even the tent that he had pitched among them. He delivered the ark into captivity, and his glory into the enemy's hand. He gave his people over to the sword, and was angry with his inheritance. Fire consumed their young men, and their maidens had no marriage songs. Their priests were slain with the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awakened as one out of sleep, and like a warrior recovering from wine. He drove his enemies backward and put them to a perpetual shame. He rejected the tabernacle of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, even the hill of Zion, which he loved. And there he built his sanctuary, like the heights of heaven, like the earth which he had established forever. He chose David his servant and took him away from the sheepfolds. As he was following the ewes that were great with young, God took him, that he might feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them with a faithful and true heart and guided them with skillful hands. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first lesson, once again, is taken from the Apocrypha, not from Holy Scripture. The Anglican principle is that the Church reads these books for example of life and instruction of manners, but does not apply them to establish any of its doctrines. We'll be reading from the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 14, also known as Ben Sira. Ecclesiasticus 14, beginning at verse 1. Happy are those who do not blunder with their lips and need not suffer remorse for sin. Happy are those whose hearts do not condemn them and who have not given up their hope. Riches are inappropriate for a small-minded person, and of what use is wealth to a miser? What he denies himself, he collects for others, and others will live in luxury on his goods. If one is mean to himself, to whom will he be generous? He will not enjoy his own riches. No one is worse than one who is grudging to himself. This is the punishment for his meanness. If ever he does good, it is by mistake, and in the end he reveals his meanness. The miser is an evil person. He turns away and disregards people. The eye of the greedy person is not satisfied with his share. Greedy injustice withers the soul. A miser begrudges bread and is lacking at the table. My child, treat yourself well according to your means and present worthy offerings to the Lord. Remember that death does not tarry, and the decree of Hades has not been shown to you. Do good to friends before you die, and reach out and give to them as much as you can. Do not deprive yourself on a day's enjoyment. Do not let your share of desired good pass by you. Will you not leave the fruit of your labors to another, and what you acquired by toil to be divided by lot? Give and take, and indulge yourself, because in Hades one cannot look for luxury. All living beings become like a garment, for the decrees from of old is, you must die. Like abundant leaves on a spreading tree that sheds some and puts forth others, so are the generations of flesh and blood. One dies, and another is born. Every work decays and ceases to exist, and the one who made it will pass away with it. Happy is the person who meditates on wisdom and reasons intelligently, who reflects in his heart on her ways and ponders her secrets, pursuing her like a hunter and lying in wait on her paths, who peers through her windows and listens at her doors, who camps near her house and fastens his tent peg to her walls, who pitches his tent near her and so occupies an excellent lodging place, who places his children under her shelter and lodges under her boughs, who is sheltered by her from the heat and dwells in the midst of her glory. Here ends the lesson. We respond in the words of the Te Deum Laudamus on page 17. In unison, we praise you, O God. We acclaim you as Lord. All creation worships you, the Father everlasting. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, the cherubim and the seraphim sing an endless praise. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you. Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all praise, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you took our flesh to set us free, you humbly chose the Virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come to be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. Our second lesson, the book of Acts, chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. And after 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down, and some elders, and a spokesman, one Tertullus. They laid before the governor their case against Paul. And when he had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Since through you we enjoy much peace, and since by your foresight, most excellent Felix, reforms are being made for this nation, in every way and everywhere we accept this with all gratitude. But to detain you no further, I beg you in your kindness to hear us briefly. For we have found this man a plague, who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout the world, and is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. By examining him yourself, you'll be able to find out from him about everything of which we accuse him." The Jews also joined in the charge, affirming that all these things were so. When the governor had nodded to him to speak, Paul replied, "Knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. You can verify that it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem, and they did not find me disputing with anyone or stirring up a crowd, either in the temple or in the synagogue or in the city. Neither can they prove to you what they now bring up against me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience towards God and man. Now after several years I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings. While I was doing this, they found me purified in the temple, without any crowd or tumult. But some Jews from Asia, they ought to be here before you, and to make an accusation, should they have anything against me. Or else let these men themselves say that wrongdoing they found, when I stood before the council, other than that this one thing that I cried out while standing among them. It is with respect to the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you this day." But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, "When Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case." Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody, but have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We respond to the lesson in the words of the Benedictus, page 19. Together, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He's come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen." Feel free to pause the podcast now and to reflect on this morning's lessons. But return and join me as we lift our voices together and profess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed on page 20. Together, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." This concludes our Liturgy of the Word as we move now to our time of prayer on page 21. Once again, praying responsibly. The Lord be with you, and with your spirit, the people say. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Together, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And our morning suffrages, O Lord, show your mercy upon us, and grant us your salvation. O Lord, guide those who govern us, and lead us in the way of justice and truth. Clothe your ministers with righteousness, and let your people sing with joy. O Lord, save your people, and bless your inheritance. Give peace in our time, O Lord, and defend us by your mighty power. Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten, nor the hope of the poor be taken away. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Our collect of the day from the first Sunday in Advent, page 598. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son Jesus Christ came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to life immortal. Through him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. And on this Tuesday morning, this Collect for Peace on page 23. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us, your humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your defense, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through the might of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll now lift up three prayers for mission, as is our custom in the Anglican Communion. One on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ and its leaders. Secondly, we want to remember our government leaders. And thirdly, we want to hold up our fellow man, our neighbor. I'll use these three prayers for mission on page 24 to frame our intercessions, and I invite you to join with me. Almighty and everlasting God, who alone works great marvels, we pray to send down upon our clergy and the congregations committed to their charge your life-giving Spirit of grace. Shower them with the continual dew of your blessing and ignite in them a zealous love of your gospel. We pray today for all of those that you've called to shepherd your people as apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. We pray that your grace would be upon these, O Lord, to be faithful ministers of your word and your sacraments as they walk before us. Help them be godly examples. We pray for Foley, our Archbishop of the Anglican Church of North America. And we lift up Mark, our bishop-elect, here in the Anglican Diocese of the Great Lakes. I pray for Alan, our dean in Eastern Michigan, and I hold up Brian, our dean in Western Michigan. Take this time to hold up your leaders, your archbishop, your bishop, your pastor or your rector, your dean. If you're joining us from another denomination, lift up your denomination and its leaders. I pray for Crossroads Anglican and the Abbey, and I invite you to hold up your church or your mission before the Lord. Father, forgive us our sad divisions. Help us all do those works that are pleasing in your sight so that the world may know that we are your disciples. Stir up in each of us the gift that is in us through the infilling of your Holy Spirit, that we may do those works that are pleasing in your sight. Build your church, Lord. Let not the gates of hell prevail against it. And these things we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, the chief apostle and high priest of our confession. Amen. Now let's lift up our government leaders. O God, you've made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and you've sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold, pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom. We pray today for those you've called to govern. We ask you, Lord, to lift up the humble and those who do what's right, but to resist the proud and the self-serving. Rebuke the wicked openly so that all may learn to fear you and learn that all power and all authority is yours and you vested it in your Son and in your church. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your grace would be upon Donald, our president, upon Mike, our vice president, upon Nancy, our speaker, Mitch, our Senate leader, and John, our chief justice. We lift up our states and our commonwealths. I hold up Gretchen, our governor in the state of Michigan, and I invite you to hold up your governor by name. Remember the mayors of our cities and the supervisors of our townships and the executives of our counties. Lord, these that we've elected and all of those that have been appointed by them, I pray, O Lord, that you give them wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. And I pray that you would help all of us to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you so that you may visit our nation with your blessing and not in judgment. And these things we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. Finally, Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your Spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those that do not know you to the knowledge and the love of you. We pray this day for all of those who are suffering and afflicted in their bodies or in their minds, for all of the sick, the wounded, the crippled, and the institutionalized. We lift up the hungry and the homeless, the destitute, the oppressed, all of the unemployed, everyone that's facing temptation, doubt, despair, find themselves in loneliness or fear and anguish. We lift up the sorrowful and the bereaved who are nursing or have lost loved ones, especially the Church of Jesus Christ that's being persecuted and the families of the martyrs. We bring to you the prisoners and the captives and all of those in mortal danger, especially our men and women in the military, our law enforcement communities, our first responders, and all of our healthcare workers. Lord, these that protect us, we ask you to protect them. And we pray, O Lord, that in your mercy you will comfort and relieve all these and all of those on our prayer list, and grant them the knowledge of your great love as you stir up in us the will and the patience to minister to the poor. And these things we pray for the honor of your great name. Amen. Feel free to pause the podcast now and to lift up your personal intercessions unto the Lord, but return and join with me as we lift up our voices together and give thanks to Almighty God. The General Thanksgiving on page 25. Together, Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all of your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you've made. We bless you for our creation, our preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray you give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all of our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Almighty God, you've given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications unto you. And you've promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life everlasting. Amen. You've been listening to Morning Prayer at the Crossroads, a prayer ministry of Crossroads Anglican in Brighton, Michigan. Thank you for being our guest today at the Abbey. We hope that you found your visit encouraging as we strive together to build one another up in the faith and to make the habit of daily prayer a regular part of your Christian discipleship. If you'd like to learn more about Crossroads Anglican and daily prayer, please check out our website at crossroadsanglican.org. you'll find a host of prayer resources and helpful links there that'll help you learn more about the Anglican tradition, liturgical worship, and our vision to help strengthen and encourage your walk and help you draw closer to God. You can purchase your own copy or download a free PDF of the New Book of Common Prayer by visiting the Anglican Church of North America's website at bcp2019.anglicanchurch.net. That's bcp2019.anglicanchurch.net. I'm Father David, and this has been a production of Crossroads Anglican. If you'd like to help support our ministry, please click on the donation button on the right side of our homepage and make your tax-deductible gifts. Alleluia, alleluia. Let us bless the Lord, brothers and sisters. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.